Red Tanner's here from Tanner Financial. And before we get into insurance, how are you, my friend? Good to see you.
Good to see you. Great to be here.
Yeah, we're just talking about going to Florida, hanging out in Florida. And one of the things we didn't touch on last week, because both Fred and I, he was in Tampa, I was in the Fort Lauderdale area that you're going to, is the extent of damage that the hurricanes caused and how quickly it all gets cleaned up.
Yeah, it's amazing. A friend sent some footage of Lauderdale, and they had graders out moving the sand off of US 1, which, you know, we kind of look at it like a snowdrift. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, a couple weeks later, it's all gone.
You know, it's funny. I saw some pictures of one of the courses, the one that you're talking about. There's Palm Air, and there's Eagle Trace, there's Heron Bay. These are clubbing courses. And I was with some people from the head office, and they were showing me shots of the courses right after the hurricane. And within a couple months, I know it sounds silly, but it's amazing how quickly everything gets put back to normal. But the trees, the trees they lost, and how there's just those, you know, big century trees that are just gone now. But other than that, there's really not much of a sign that there was any chaos there just months and, you know, a few short weeks before.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, they had 100-mile-an-hour sustained winds, even though it sort of missed Lauderdale. Still a pretty big storm.
Mm-hmm. And did you see anything over where you were on the other side?
Not really.
Really?
No, I didn't. Interesting, eh?
Well, I guess I know in a weird way. Well, the other thing I did see, now that I remember it, is there's...
But it sort of peeled up and then sort of went inland.
But in all the places I mentioned, there was work people, because you can't say men or woman, just work humans, I like to say, all working on. There wasn't one course where there wasn't a bunch of people repairing roofs or houses or windows. And that Palm Air has a lot of smaller homes around it that have been a little bit of damage. But other than that, not much.
Yeah, there's a lot of condos in there, but they're all low story because there's an airport there. So it didn't seem that really there was that much damage.
Brett's here, of course, to talk about the miracle of wellness. The Chamber's plan, and we've been talking about it, is great news for small businesses. I mean, I think we've tried to explain how good this is for small... This is... The whole country is built on small businesses. You may not think it, all these big corporations, but most human beings in Canada are employed by, you know, smaller, 100 or less, 50 or less companies. But today we're going to talk not about how the mechanics work, but a little bit about wellness.
Yeah, wellness is kind of the buzzword in not just our industry, but obviously last year there was a lot of hype around the Bell Let's Talk mental health initiative, which was tremendous. You know, a lot of man hours and women hours, human hours, as Howard would say, are lost.
I no longer see gender.
Yep.
I just want you to know.
that's good to know.
Yeah.
But, you know, really what's happening is, you know, if you could get in front of some of this with prevention, it would be tremendous. What was really kind of interesting when we started doing some wellness seminars in the past couple of years, because it became a, you know, sort of forefront topic, we looked into some surveys, and interestingly, the two biggest wellness items we thought would be benefits related, they're not. They're really employer related. People want flexible work arrangements, and they want like healthy food and snacks available at the office. Those were the top two items. So, you know, you'd think it might be a better benefit plan, or it might be, you know, something else, but it wasn't.
When you say healthy snacks at the workplace, isn't that the responsibility of the worker?
You would sort of think that way, but, you know, the interesting part is, and you kind of wonder, you know, there's obviously, you know, a tied thought into this, but, you know, the Googles of the world and, you know, what some of the things that some of these companies do with these new wave offices is they have all this stuff there, so they work longer. So it's kind of funny. They're happier when they're there working, so they're probably going to stay. They're going to work longer. They're going to be more productive.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, the progressive companies are doing that now. They're providing the work environment that people can thrive in. It just makes so much sense.
It does. And, you know, one of the hardest things for the industry is going to be how the industry evolves with this unbundling of benefits, because a lot of focus is going to start to go towards the prevention side. If you can prevent claims, obviously you have lower claims, which is going to lower your premiums. But how do you spend the money there first?
Well, it's interesting because some of the stuff that you sent us, the research talking about the physical and the mental and the financial wellness of one's employees, you know, gone are the days where, you know, companies aren't expected to look out for employees because it's almost like not a buyer's market, but employees, like, if you want to work for, if you want healthy, happy employees, you've got to provide something for them. You've got to provide an environment that they find pleasing.
Yeah, and one of the hardest things, I think, in the upcoming years is going to be the transition to, you know, benefit plans and workplaces that are different than they were in the past. Because if you had a benefit plan and you're covering somebody's diabetic drugs and so on and so forth, and, you know, the business has a budget, and now you say, okay, well, I want to put in a healthcare spending account to help the employees have a little more flexibility in what they do, well, the money has to come from somewhere. If the business still has the same budget, they've either got to reduce the drug coverage, which might help with the preventative and the claims down the road, but it's not going to help the current diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do they get from A to B? So it's really changing. We see that the newer firms are more likely to take the flex sort of type situation. The existing firms, it's hard for them to unbundle and go the other way on the fly because it's an increase in their spend.
Well, I mean, that's a dilemma even for the government with healthcare, right? Because they know if they could get into preventative right now, it would save them money down the line for all people that are in hospitals and cancer care and all that stuff. It's actually allowing people now through OHIP to do preventative things. None of that is covered, yet if they allowed that now, they would save on the other end.
Oh, for sure. And and like 90% of the chronic health issues are we do to ourselves. You know, it's alcohol, physical inactivity, unhealthy eating, and tobacco. Those four alone lead to about 90% of the actual real meat of claims.
So say that again. It's alcohol, unhealthy eating, lack of exercise, and
tobacco use.
Tobacco.
Wow. Tobacco, wacky. Not just the wacky tobacco.
Well, that's interesting you say that because, you know, I guess, and to Fred's point, if the government would subsidize even a stop smoking cessation program, then for every human being that's not smoking, there's got to be a... there's got to be an actuary that could give you the commensurate savings on every person that's not smoking next year.
Well, they like simplicity. So I think for years and years, the idea was we'll just tax the heck out of it and we'll put that money into healthcare.
Yeah, which is kind of one of those. It's kind of a bit of a bullshit scam because what they're doing is they're saying, yeah, we're going to make it really uncomfortable for you to buy cigarettes. But as a former smoker, there wasn't a price I wasn't going to pay for cigarettes.
No, it's an addiction, and it's not easy to kick. And I've watched many people try to quit smoking for years, and sometimes they'll be off the wagon for 3 or 4 years, and you know, they're at a party, they have that first cigarette after a couple beers, and
what does that do for an insurance in an insurance situation? I have two questions. Excuse me. How long does a person have to have been a non-smoker to make an impact on their insurance?
So in the group benefits world, they don't really look at whether you're a smoker or non-smoker. But in the life insurance world, they do. So most insurers, it's a year. And, you know, it's a simple blood test, and they can tell whether you've been smoking or you haven't been smoking and so on. So and many people can actually get life coverage while they're a smoker, and they can actually get the reduced rate of a non-smoker by reapplying in a year, and they can look at their existing policy and change their coverage level.
And how much difference, let's say, from a life insurance aspect, does it make to be a non-smoker?
It could almost be half.
What? Are you serious?
Major amount. Depends on the age and so forth. But yeah, in some cases, it's, you know, 20 to 50%.
That's amazing, just to be a non-smoker. So if you're thinking about, you know, 2018 being the year you stop smoking, think about, you, not only do you save your life, you save money.
Well, and if you think about it logically, I mean, actuaries in the life insurance business really don't have a sense of humor. It's
seriously,
it's all built purely about the numbers. So if the numbers are, you know, it's 40 or 50% less by being a, you know, a non-smoker, that tells you that you're 40 or 50% more at risk if you are a smoker.
All this stuff so doable, too. You talk about diet and exercise, and I get back to the government or any plan, where if someone can go and see a dietitian for nothing, because people think, I'm not ready to be a dietitian, you know, I want everything free. Just to have, you know, just to become aware of what healthy eating it is and how simple it is to make certain choices. And same with exercising. Like, you know, on this information you gave us today, 30 minutes three times a week isn't a lot. I think a lot of people think when it comes to exercise, they got to be in the gym every day for a couple hours. It's really not that involved. And again, you need somebody to sort of, you know, teach coach. you, introduce you to the simplicity of this. And, you know, and again, this is the whole preventative thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because the 30 minutes doesn't have to be running. It could be walking.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't even bother to, you know, to get up and go for a walk. So you're seeing employers now starting to throw things like Fitbits into the package for the employees, and they're tying compensation around if you're averaging 10,000 steps a day, we know you're going to be healthier, more energetic, whatever, so we'll give you a bonus at the end of the year if you sustain that of X number of dollars.
You know, it's interesting, and this goes back a long way for a lot of North Americans in the early 70s, mid-70s, when all of a sudden Japanese cars and you know, Asian companies started to infiltrate the North American culture. And I remember seeing those those videos or the, you know, where they would do like a, they just take you inside a Japanese factory and everyone is exercising each morning and they're doing all these, and it seems strange, but think about how much smarter that is, that exercise makes better employees, healthier food makes better employees, and the employees are actually happier having felt better about themselves.
Oh, for sure. And we're going to see a change from technology where we're going to catch up a little bit in those areas. And, you know, recently they surveyed some employees and more than half agreed that they would share, you know, their health information on their claims if it was used, you know, to give them preventative information. So if somebody's using specific medications for certain things and the plan can turn around and down the road say to them, if you do this, this, and this, that will reduce your use of that medication. So we're going to see technology, it's all going to change in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, I suspect.
Well, it's always interesting getting some information about this industry that affects all of us. You know, and we've tried to make people aware that the chambers, it's chamber.ca, it's chamberplan.ca, but we call it the Chambers Plan, and it affects small businesses. It's there for you. For information, go and check it out. And I think we've learned today that, you know, a lot of smart companies. Phil, I have a question for you. You're one of our main employees. Have we made this work environment? Do you feel taken care of? Do you have healthy snacks, Phil?
Yes, we do. The cashews are very healthy, of course.
And Dahl's granola.
And the granola as well.
We have almond milk. And
almond milk.
And we have a dog to make you feel better.
I think, absolutely. A therapy dog.
A therapy dog. You know, there's some of those hip offices downtown Toronto and in other Canadian cities where they allow you to bring your dog to work. I'm sure there are studies that show that there's having a dog in the office, it makes everyone feel better.
Yeah, there's something kind of pleasing about having...
There is.
As long as they don't shed too much.
No.
And the only complaint I have is the secondhand ganja. That the odd time, you know, when I walk in.
Well, here, yeah, in this place? Yeah. Oh, is that your...
You know, I'm suffering from secondhand...
I mean, that 40% risk, yeah, you know.
I know what you're talking about for a second. I'm like, the dog smoking weed?
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The only complaint you have as an employee is the secondhand ganja smoke, but that's not an office thing, Brett, okay? That's because one of the owners of the company lives here. I don't know who it is. Anyway, so what we've learned is get a dog and stop being so unhealthy at the office. What about you? So you're going to be in town for a couple weeks, and you're going to get out of here and enjoy some warmth.
Yeah, gonna head south for a bit and do a bit of golf and just sort of relax over the holidays, recharge, which everybody should do.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would like to mention, if I can,
yeah, of course,
you know, this time of year we. Our company, instead of giving out a lot of gifts and so on to our clients, we actually do some donations. So a couple of the charities are Geneva Center for Autism, which is what we do our golf tournament for. Mm-hmm. And another one is one from a client of ours, actually, Jody Steinhauer, the Bargains Group. And Jody does a project called Engage and Change, and they build kits for the homeless. Mm. So you see the temperature out there today. They're giving out sleeping bags, jackets, all kinds of things to help people. So... So I think it's a great thing to do this time of year if you can get your companies behind those kind of things. I think it's great.
Is there any information, excuse me, about that on your site? Is there some place we can...
There's a little bit on our website as well, and we'll forward some stuff to you so you've got...
Yeah, I'd love that. Perfect. That way we can mention it before we get done. We're 1 week from today, by the way, everyone, is the last Humble and Fred show for 2017, the gift of Christmas. Obviously, you're more than welcome to drop by and say hi to everyone and give out... insurance advice,
because that's what people want me
people
to do.
Are like, hey, Brett's here.
Well, I don't know. Maybe people want to meet Brett. Come hug Brett for the holidays before he gets out of here. Always interesting, and looking over this information, it just goes to show you that even a small business can make a difference for their employees, because ultimately, all of this is so that your insurance rates are lower, and then they stay low. But ultimately, also
more people can be covered for those calamities. Yeah,
and you know the advisor is really your coach, because if you've got a small business, mm-hmm. you need somebody to help you through the HR questions and the kind of things that you're trying to figure out as a small company.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Listen, thank you so much for coming in. Always great seeing you. Obviously, thank you for helping support this project, the Humble and Fred Show, mm-hmm. which is inadvertently spreading joy, Brett. I mean, it's not just money. We're joy spreaders, and we're lowering people's expectations.
The minute people walk out that door, they're in better health.
My blood pressure came down the minute I came on the show.
There you go. Brett Tanner, everybody. Woo! It's Brett Tanner. Very nice. Thank you very much. Happy holidays. Dun, 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 dun.